It's time for America Outdoors Radio, the show that covers the outdoor scene across the U.S. of A. and the entire continent. Fishing, hunting, conservation, outdoor recreation, and great destinations, we cover it all every week. It's your country, your outdoors. Let's explore it together with your host, John Cruz.
Welcome to the show. There's a lot to talk about in the world of tournament bass fishing. Two big events have happened over the last week. One of them was the Major League Fishing Red Crest. That took place in Lay Lake, Alabama. And the person who dominated, winning by nearly 30 pounds, was Dustin Connell, who just happens to call Clanton, Alabama home, so he might have had the hometown advantage here, and boy, he put it to use. Not only that, he got a $300,000 paycheck along with this trophy that makes him the best of the best in this tournament circuit. The other big event, that would be the Bassmaster Classic going on right now, and there's some really good sticks out there. In terms of the odds-on favorites of who might be winning, one of them is Jeff Gustafson, affectionately known as Gussie. He fishes out of a Lund boat, and he was the winner last year in Knoxville, Tennessee. In an article at Bassmaster.com, his chances are 7-1 of winning this year. One of my favorite anglers on the circuit, Brandon Polinuk from Rathdrum, Idaho, is got a 6-1 odds of winning. Now, he might be a dark horse here because this is his 13th trip to the Bassmaster Classic. And he got second place at Grand Lake back in 2013, so he knows and likes this lake. Don't count out Hank Cherry. His odds of winning are 5-1. He did win both the 2020 and 2021 Bassmaster Classic, and this two-time winner has a good chance of winning this one, too. Then there's Greg Hackney. He's from Gonzales, Louisiana. The odds of him winning are 4-1. He's been around for a long time. He's made 18 trips to the Bassmaster Classic. And his best finishes happened at Grand Lake. That was 13th place in 2013 and 10th place in 2016. So we'll see if this old pro is due. As for the odds-on favorite, though, overwhelming odds-on favorite, not just according to Bassmaster, but in all the forums that I've checked out, that would be Jason Christie. Now, Jason is actually from Oklahoma, so you might say Grand Lake is one of his home lakes. And he was the winner of the 2022 Classic at South Carolina's Lake Hartwell. This is his 10th trip to the Classic, and he has done very well on Grand Lake. In 2013, he finished in 7th place, and in 2016, he placed 2nd. As for who the actual winner is going to be at the Grand Lake Cherokees, we will find out on Sunday, so stay tuned. Oh, and if you want to watch the Bassmaster Classic, you can do that too. You can catch it live on Fox Sports 1 from 6:30 to 9:30 a.m., and it'll stream from 10:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. on the Bass website. You can also take in the weigh-in 5 o'clock on Saturday at the Bass website. The following day, the final day of the Bassmaster Classic, that would be Sunday, you can catch the action from 5:30 a.m. to 9 a.m. on Fox Sports 2, from 9 to 11 a.m. on Fox Sports 1, and from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Fox. You can also watch the weigh-in online at Bassmaster.com. I'll definitely be watching the coverage on Fox Sports and the Fox channel, and I'll be checking out the weigh-ins online too, and I'll tell you what, breaks my heart that I'm not going to be there in person because I was supposed to be there in person. I had reservations. I had tickets. I was going to go out on the final practice day with one of the qualifiers. Got to do that in 2021 with Chris Johnson, learn more about pre-fishing in a day on the water with him that I'd ever learned in my whole life. And then I was going to interview the pros on the media day after the nice lunch they provide. That's at the convention center in Tulsa. And of course, you got to be in at the weigh-ins. It's a combination of NASCAR and fishing, and it's like nothing else, these weigh-ins. If you have not attended the Bassmaster Classic, you really ought to do so. And make sure you spend some time at the expo too, because it's like a huge sportsman show, but it's all dedicated to bass fishing. It's really something else. Why am I not attending, you ask? Well, some of you already know the answer if you've been listening to the show over the last few weeks. It's because I was at the Washington Sportsman Show in early February and managed to stumble over the curb at the motel I was staying at, and I shredded the tendon below my right kneecap. So I'm still in a leg brace, and I am not in any shape for flying or being on a boat or walking any great distances. But I've got a goal, and that goal is to get out of this leg brace and be fishing a pro-am tournament as an amateur out of my home lake of Potholes Reservoir in eastern Washington on April 25th and 26th. It's all part of the Big Bass Trail. The winner of that tournament is going to win a brand new Phoenix Bass boat. And the amateur who comes in with the biggest shared weight between the pros and the cos can win a $5,000 paycheck. I'm hoping that'll be me. This portion of the show is brought to you by our friends at Henry Repeating Arms. And you know, Father's Day isn't that far away. Either is graduation day for your kid. And one great gift for either the dad or the grad would be a personalized Golden Boy lever action rifle from Henry Repeating Arms. Here's how you go about doing it. First off, you purchase a H004 series Henry Golden Boy rifle or Golden Boy silver. That's right, your choice of silver or gold on that rifle. And then think of up to 20 words you would like engraved on the receiver. Then you purchase a personalized Golden Boy or personalized Golden Boy silver receiver cover from henryoutfitters.com. Henry Repeating Arms will engrave your message on the receiver cover and make sure it looks perfect. They'll send it back to you and you just replace the standard receiver cover with the new personalized receiver cover by just removing only 5 screws. Instructions included, no gunsmith needed. And then present this unique rifle in .22 caliber made in the USA to that dad or that grad. I guarantee they are going to cherish it for a lifetime. Find out more at henryusa.com. And don't forget to ask for your free decals and catalog while you're there. Turning back to this week's show, we've got some great guests for you. And sticking with the theme of tournament fishing, we're going to talk to Keith Catfish Sutton. He is the editor of Catfish Now, a free digital magazine that you can check out at catfishnow.com. And this month's edition is all about tournament catfish fishing. You'll hear from a couple writers that'll help you get started in the sport if you've never tried it before. Another writer is a tournament director who's got some really good advice for you if you want to participate. There's, of course, some tips on how to catch catfish during the springtime. And Keith is just going to talk about the rise of tournament catfishing. It's really catching on throughout the country and in a different way than the bass tournament fishing scene works. Keith will explain more about that in just a few minutes. Another guest we'll have for you today is Shane Harris. He's the owner of Lazy Horse Outfitters in North Central Idaho, and he wants to take you hunting near the little town of Orofino on some private land that he's got leased. He's got openings this spring for black bear hunting and for turkey hunting. Not only that, if you go on a turkey hunt with them, he's going to give you, as a listener of the show, 20% off. All you have to do is just mention to him that you heard about the turkey hunts on America Outdoors Radio, and yes, you'll get $360 off your guided turkey hunt. All lodging and meals are included with both the bear and turkey hunts. You can even do a combo hunt if you want the last 5 days. In addition to this, Shane also offers mule deer hunts in the fall, ranging from 5 to 7 days, depending on whether you want to go after them with a modern firearm or with a bow and arrow. After that, we'll go ahead and share some audio. I recorded it at the Bighorn Outdoor Adventure Show in Spokane, Washington, caught up with my old friend John McComey. He's the owner of McComey's Custom Lures, and he's got some absolutely beautiful lures that are going to work great for catching salmon and lake trout, not only off the West Coast, but also in places like the Great Lakes. I'm looking forward to sharing the details about his new lures with you, and I bet you you'll be going to his website after you hear this to go ahead and buy some. Last but not least, we're going to share an article with you from the Outdoor Wire written by Frank Sargent that's all about gators and crocodiles and pythons in Florida. They're causing some problems down there, but food researchers in Australia have come up with a novel way to tackle the python problem. We'll tell you more about that towards the end of the show. So go ahead and have a seat, pour yourself a cup of coffee, and right after this short word from our sponsors, we're going to go ahead and dive right into this with Keith Catfish Sutton.
We've been telling you about Sportsman's Cove Lodge in Southeast Alaska for a while now, and there's a reason. They are the only Alaska lodge we talk about in this show. It's because they're truly Alaska's best lodge. The adventure starts with a float plane ride from Ketchikan, after which you'll get the chance to experience some of the best hospitality, food, and wonderful people you'll ever meet. Wildlife is abundant, from bears and deer to eagles and whales, and let's not forget the reason you're here, the fishing. Halibut, salmon, lingcod, rockfish, true cod, and more. It's all waiting for you in abundance at Sportsman's Cove Lodge. Book your trip today at alaskasbestlodge.com. That's alaskasbestlodge.com for Sportsman's Cove Lodge.
When you think of WorkSharp knife and tool sharpeners, you probably think of sharpeners for the shop or the field, but WorkSharp has a whole lineup of sharpeners for the kitchen, too. We're talking about everything from easy-to-use manual and electric knife sharpeners to ceramic honing rods, whetstones, and the new rolling knife sharpener, an innovative manual sharpener that will do wonders for your cutlery. Make sure there's never a dull moment in your kitchen. Check out the entire product line and order today at WorkSharpTools.com. That's WorkSharpTools.com.
Campers, adventure seekers, hunters, and foodies. No matter the lifestyle, we can all agree on one thing. Great food and great people are worth remembering. At Camp Chef, we don't just make grills. We create each product knowing that a warm meal is always better when it's shared with those we love. Learn more about Camp Chef grills, smokers, and portable cooking equipment at CampChef.com. That's CampChef.com for a better way to cook outdoors.
Are you looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer affordable platforms to reach thousands of listeners. Find out more by contacting John Cruz through his website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com.
You're back in with America Outdoors Radio. We've got Keith Catfish Sutton on the line. He is the editor of Catfish Now, a free digital magazine that you can check out and subscribe to at catfishnow.com. Keith, great to have you back on the air.
Yeah, I always enjoy being with you, John, and talking about what we're doing at the magazine.
Well, I really like this month's edition. It's all about tournament catfishing, and I thought with the Bassmaster Classic going off this week that this would be a great time to talk about some other types of tournament fishing. You know, this sport has really been growing in recent years, hasn't it?
I'm going to tell you, it's extremely hard to keep up if you're a guy like me who loves catfishing. With everything that's happening, we're seeing tournaments popping up all over the country and in other countries even. And everywhere from California to Pennsylvania and all the points in between, it seems like every week there's more and more tournaments popping up and more people enjoying competing in those tournaments.
I think it's interesting, too. I mean, when it comes to bass fishing, you got your spotted bass, your smallmouth, your largemouth. When it comes to catfish, you got your blues, you got your channel cats, you got your flatheads. And the different species of catfish, do they act very differently from each other? In other words, could somebody be really good as a tournament angler with blue catfish, but not so good with flatheads?
Yeah, that's a really good question, John. And yes, the answer is yes. The big three species, flatheads, blues, and channel cats, all have their own unique behaviors. Those overlap some, but if a guy is really good at catching flathead catfish, those tactics he uses might not be good for blues or channel cats and so forth. So, yeah, if you learn to fish for one of the three species in particular and not all three, and the person beside you out there on the lake or river is fishing for all three, they might have an advantage. So, yeah, you got to learn a little bit about each species.
Tournament catfishing is still a growing sport, I get the impression. You know, you head out to some of these big opens in like Texas, and you might see 300 boats on the water. Even in the Pacific Northwest, you know, you'll see 100 bass boats on the water. But when I covered some of the tournament catfishing circuits a few years ago on the show, we were talking more like 20, 25 boats. Has it grown from there in some of the tournaments to those bigger numbers
Yes.
that we just mentioned?
Yeah, it definitely has, John. We're seeing a lot of tournaments that'll have 100 boats, and some that'll have even more than that. There are many really big tournaments. For example, Mississippi River Monsters out of Memphis on the Mississippi River. That's a huge tournament. Draws a lot of competitors from around the country, all hoping to come and catch that monstrous catfish that might be caught there in the Mississippi, but it's happening all over the country. One of our riders this month, Brad Durick, is up in the Dakotas on the Red River. He guides up there, but he's also a tournament director, and he talks a lot about the tournaments up there in his article, and they're growing every year, and there's a lot of them. It surprises me sometimes how well each of them is doing when there are so many.
You know, I've got to tell you, I really like that article from Brad, and it's basically titled Tournament Fishing Advice from a Director. You know, he's got some really solid advice that applies not just for catfish anglers, but bass anglers or any other competitive angler, too. And I like, you know, one of them in particular is adjusting your pre-fishing tactics. And I've been guilty of this, and so have a lot of other folks, of winning the pre-fish and then going out there and bombing the tournament itself. And
Yeah, I think anybody who's fished tournaments has probably experienced that in some form or fashion. So it is. It's good, solid advice. And Brad, he's been a director for so many different tournaments. He really knows. He's also a competitor, and his story I really enjoyed, too. He talks about how you need to be sure you meet the other anglers and get to know them and watch what they're doing to help you compete better. You know, get a solid partner to fish with you, spend more time on the water. Those seem real basic, but they're types of things people tend to overlook sometimes. And with tournament catfishing, in my mind, this and that, and tournament bass fishing, it's more of a family-oriented thing. There's a lot of families take their kids or their wives and compete in catfish tournaments, where maybe you don't see that quite as much in the bass fishing world.
I would agree with you on that. Kind of reminds me of the difference between duck hunters and dove hunters. Dove hunters are very social. Duck hunters, not so much.
Absolutely. It is a big social thing, I think. And I think one of the reasons, you know, they've been trying to get tournaments going for decades, and it didn't work at first because, in my mind, they were wanting to make it more of a Bassmaster thing. And catfish folks are just a little bit different. They're really friend-oriented, family-oriented, and the sport has to be that as well. And I think once people figured that out and started conducting their tournaments in that regard, that's when things really start taking off.
Another article I really enjoyed in this edition was Becoming a Catfish Tournament Fisherman by Terry Madewell. And I think it's really important you have something like that because there's a lot of folks who are going to be intrigued by the concept of tournament catfishing and may wonder, how do I get into it? And this article really checks off the marks, doesn't it?
Yeah, Terry's one of our really good writers who's a consistent contributor to Catfish Now, and he's been around. He knows as much about catfishing as any writer in the country, and he bases what he writes on his experience with people out on the water. And he talks in this article to several people who got involved and relates, you know, their experiences. And I think that's a big plus for people reading this issue is to hear from somebody that, like the people that Terry knows who are out there doing these things. One of the folks he interviews is a young lady named Abby Miller, and she's fishes with her dad in some tournaments out in North Carolina and has become quite a tournament marvel. So that's a really great article from Terry. Everybody ought to read.
And another one that's a great one for people just thinking about getting into competitive catfishing, written by veteran outdoors writer Brent Frazee, Tapping Your Competitive Spirit.
Yeah, Brent's another one who really has a lot of experience with catfish folks. And he's gone along, at least as a press observer, on a lot of tournaments, and I imagine he's fished a lot of them as well. And Brent offers a lot of short, easy tips that can help you get started if you're wanting to get in the tournament game. And his advice, just like the advice from the other guys, is really solid. Talks about starting small at the right level, building a team, having the proper gear, and learning as you go. Real solid tips for anybody who's been thinking about tournament fishing but hasn't yet gotten involved.
Well, all in all, a very solid edition of Catfish Now. And folks, if you want to check it out, just go to catfishnow.com. It's a monthly digital magazine, and you subscribe free, too. Just get your free subscription and get it delivered to your email box every month and become a better catfish angler and maybe even a tournament catfish angler. Keith, great job on this edition, and thanks for sharing this with us today on America Outdoors Radio.
Always a pleasure, John. Thank you for having me on.
Hunt of a Lifetime is a nationwide nonprofit organization dedicated to providing hunting and fishing trips to youth 21 and under who suffer from life-threatening illnesses and disabilities. These adventures make big differences in the lives of those who participate in them, and in many cases are literally a dream come true that brings hope and therapy to their lives. Find out more, get involved, or donate today at huntofalifetime.org. That's huntofalifetime.org. huntofalifetime.org.
John Cruz here, looking to improve your bottom line as a business that caters to outdoors enthusiasts? You can do so for a very cost-effective price by advertising on America Outdoors Radio. I will tailor a marketing campaign for you, reaching hundreds of thousands of listeners every weekend tuning into our show on 135 stations in 33 states. We've got a sponsor opening right now, so contact me through my website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com and let's talk about helping you. Next up on America Outdoors Radio, we've got Shane Harris on the line. He is the man behind Lazy Horse Outfitters. It's a guide service in north central Idaho. And he's got some turkey hunts available along with some limited spring bear hunts that you might be interested in. Shane, welcome to the show.
How are you doing? How are you doing?
I'm doing quite well. So before we get into the hunts themselves, let's talk about where we're hunting. You're in north central Idaho. You're located in Orofino, a place I regard as an excellent base camp for steelhead fishing on the Clearwater River, where you can actually reel in a steelhead up to 20 pounds. But you got some good hunting around there too, don't you?
It's very good hunting. Lots of deer, turkeys, and like you say, excellent fishing. And Clearwater River is known for its fishing and some very good hunting in the area.
Well, let's start off with the spring bear hunts. You know, a lot of states don't have spring bear hunts. Idaho still does. What's the season this year?
The unit that I hunt starts April 15th and goes until May 31st. We are still allowed to use bait in the state of Idaho, which that's all my hunts are bait hunts, stand hunts. And it's a nice little hunt. The weather's normally pretty good.
You know, there are folks out there when they kind of hold up their nose at the thought of bait hunts. And I used to be one of those guys myself, but then I came to realize that, you know, in certain parts of the country, the way the woods are and how thick they are and the terrain is, you can't do a spot and stalk hunt, and the only way you're going to get a bear is to use bait. Is that the situation where you're at?
Yes, it's thick timber, it's no real area for spot and stalk, and we still here in Idaho have use of dogs, but on the private land, and I'm surrounded by private land, it's hard with the dogs in the area that I'm at because a lot of times they end up on the neighbors. And so in my instance, the bait hunting is about the only way that I can do it. And like you say, in some areas where it is timber, thick timber, that's, you know, about the only way you can really get after the bears.
Let's talk about where you're hunting. I was going to ask whether it was public land or private land. Sounds like you've got a lease on some private land.
Yes, sir. Got 5,500 acres. It's all private, all surrounded by private land. So, you know, little hunting pressure. And It's timber. There's a few open hillsides, but it's mostly thick timber and brush and pretty good population of deer and bears and turkeys, a lot of turkeys.
The bear hunts you offer are five-day hunts. And again, this gets back to the whole thing about whether it's ethical to hunt over bait. If you're offering a five-day hunt, doesn't mean bear's going to show up in the first hour, does it?
No, it does not. A lot of people have that concept. Oh, you're feeding them, they should be here. And, you know, they're intelligent animals. It's, you know, they're wild animals. They kind of know if you're in there, out of there. And it's not a given, that's for sure.
Where are folks staying when they're hunting with you?
I have a house in Orfino, and the hunting ground, it's a two-bedroom house in Orfino, just strictly for hunters. It's where the meals are served and hunters are housed or sleep. And then the hunting area that I hunt is approximately 7 miles from here. So short little ride to the hunting area. And it's kind of, house is convenient. It's right in town. If a guy wants to zip down to the store or something, it's very convenient for that.
Well, and I've got to tell you, folks, having stayed in Orofino, it is a nice little town. It's got some restaurants, a couple of bars, it's got the grocery store, it's got everything you need, so it's a great base camp, especially for a five-day hunt. And your price point's not bad either, $3,500 for a five-day hunt.
Yes, sir. $35 for the bear. For a five-day hunt, that's lodging and meals included.
Well, let's turn our attention to spring turkey, because a lot of folks like to go after turkey. What kind of turkey do you have there in north central Idaho?
We have the Merriam's here.
And you're offering three-day hunts for $1,800. Again, lodging, meals included. How many turkeys can you bring home?
The daily limit is two. You're allowed two bearded birds in the spring, and the daily limit is two. You can shoot both birds one day, but the spring limit is two birds.
And I understand you've got a few openings for the spring bear hunt. You've got a few more for the turkey hunt. And I understand you want to offer our listeners a bit of a deal.
Yes, sir. If any of the listeners give me a call or email, we'll give a 20% discount on the turkey hunts this spring. Mention the radio show and 20% discount.
Wow. All right. So the three-day turkey hunt, $1,800. But if you mention that you heard it on the radio, you're going to get 20% off that $1,800. That is quite a deal. That's $360 off. That is definitely worth your while. So you'll want to get a hold of this quick. Now, the turkey season in Idaho also starts April 15th, doesn't it?
Yes, April 15th and goes until May 25th.
How do you go about hunting turkey? Because there's a lot of different ways to do it. You know, there's people who use little fan blinds. There's people who use ground blinds. There's people who just kind of sit against a tree and call them in. What do you like to do?
I personally kind of move around. You know, I've been doing it for 30 years, and, you know, I kind of know where these birds are at. And, you know, I like to go from spot to spot. If you get over in this little area and they're not responding or something, I keep them moving until I find a bird that wants to play with us.
I love it. Again, folks, you're listening to America Outdoors Radio. We're talking to Shane Harris. He's the owner of Lazy Horse Outfitters in north central Idaho, and he's offering both turkey hunts and bear hunts this spring. Now, in addition to this, you've got a bear turkey combo hunt for $4,500, and that's a five-day hunt as well. That sounds like all sorts of fun.
Yes, sir, that is. You know, most of the bear hunting is done in the evenings, and doing the bear-turkey combo gives the guy a little something to do in the morning, and it's a very nice little hunt.
Sounds great. Now, we should tease the deer hunting you've got in the fall as well, because you've got whitetail rifle November rut hunts, you've got whitetail archery hunts, and mule deer hunts. Are these all taking place on the same property?
Yes, the same property.
All right. The whitetail rifle November rut hunt, $4,700. $3,500 for a seven-day archery hunt. And the mule deer hunt, $5,500 for 5 days. Is it predominantly whitetails or mule deer on the property you have?
Predominantly whitetail.
And let's talk about the size of these whitetails and mule deer, too. Are we talking young bucks, or are we talking about some pretty good quality bucks?
You know, I personally like to see the three-year-old deer, you know, taken. I leave it up to the hunter. If he sees a deer that he wants to shoot, you know, I don't try to persuade him not to shoot it. But, you know, I'd like to personally see the three-year-old and up deer shot. And the same thing with the mule deer.
One more question I've got for you, and that's about drawing a tag, because I know Idaho has tightened up how liberal they used to be with non-resident tags. Should people book first and try to draw a tag, or try to draw a tag first and then book?
The mule deer in that area right now is a draw. I do have access to two landowner tags, so I will have two tags. And then, you know, if a hunter wants to try and draw in that area, it would probably be best to put him in the draw for that, or, you know, whatever works for the hunter. Chances of drawing are the same, you know, if he puts in for it or if I put in for it for him.
And what about the whitetail? Is that a draw as well, or is that just an over-the-counter?
Right now, that is over-the-counter. There is a bill in the House where they're trying to make it a draw. So next year may be different. But right now, it's just over-the-counter. And they go on sale December 1st. And right now, most of the tags are sold out that same day for non-residents. So gotcha. A guy has to get on, you know, if you were trying to book a hunt for next year, December 1st, you would want to be in line or on the computer to get a tag.
Gotcha. All right. Well, bottom line, folks, is if you want to do a spring bear hunt, there is availability in North Central Idaho right now. If you want to do a turkey hunt, you can get 20% off the $1,800 price tag for a three-day hunt right now. And for 2025, you've got the option for whitetail and mule deer hunts as well. The website to go to is lazyhorseoutfitters.com. That's lazyhorseoutfitters.com. Get a hold of Shane. He will hook you up for a great hunt and a great stay in Orofino. Shane, thanks so much for sharing this with us today on America Outdoors Radio.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Ready to step up to a quality-built rifle or shotgun that's a true classic? Check out Henry Repeating Arms, American-made. There's over 200 models to choose from in a variety of finishes and calibers for hunters and target shooters. Many of these are lever-action models with a look right out of the Old West. Don't be deceived, though. Henry Repeating Arms are modern, rugged, accurate, reliable, and have a lifetime guarantee. Find out more and order a free catalog today at henryusa.com. That's henryusa.com.
Hunt of a Lifetime is a nationwide nonprofit organization dedicated to providing hunting and fishing trips to youth 21 and under who suffer from life-threatening illnesses and disabilities. These adventures make big differences in the lives of those who participate in them, and in many cases are literally a dream come true that brings hope and therapy to their lives. Find out more, get involved, or donate today at huntofalifetime.org. That's huntofalifetime.org. huntofalifetime.org.
Come explore the Dalles in Oregon for outdoors fun. Hike amongst the wildflowers, bike our riverfront trail, or visit the Gorge Discovery Center where you can enjoy a live raptor display, or even check out our National Neon Sign Museum. But don't forget the fishing. We've got salmon, steelhead, bass, walleye, and monster-sized sturgeon waiting just for you. When the day is done, tell those tall tales at one of our wineries, breweries, or restaurants, and plan your next adventure. Find out more at explorethedalles.com.
We've been telling you about Sportsman's Cove Lodge in Southeast Alaska for a while now. They're truly Alaska's best lodge. Wildlife is abundant, from bears and deer to eagles and whales. And let's not forget the reason you're here, the fishing. Halibut, salmon, lingcod, rockfish, true cod, and more. It's all waiting for you in abundance at Sportsman's Cove Lodge. Book your trip today at alaskasbestlodge.com. That's alaskasbestlodge.com for Sportsman's Cove Lodge.
Attention small business owners. This could be the most important 10-minute call you will ever make. You could recover up to $26,000 per employee today. And all you have to do is make one short 10-minute call to take your business up a notch or bounce back from these difficult couple of years. Omega Accounting Solutions can help you recover any payroll tax overpayments you made during the pandemic. You may even be eligible to receive up to $26,000 per employee. All it takes is a quick, easy, free 10-minute ERC consultation to determine if you qualify. Omega is the small business champion, with teams dedicated to maximizing tax credits. They know their stuff so well that CPAs and payroll companies even turn to Omega for ERC tax guidance. Call 800-300-9ERC. That's 800-300-9ERC. 1-800-300-9ERC. Or visit OmegaTaxCredits.com.
Next up on America Outdoors Radio, we've got audio for you recorded from the Bighorn Outdoor Adventure Show in Spokane, Washington. Came across my old friend John McComey. He's the owner of McComey's Custom Lures. And John, you've got some new lures out, and I'll tell you what, these trolling spoons for lake trout, they are really good looking.
Yeah, we've got these new lake trout trolling spoons in with UV on them that just is dynamite and just pops when it hits the water. Put a nice size 2 hook on them and Gamagatsus, and I think they'll do great for bows, browns, mackinaw, either in the lakes in the northwest and the west coast, and even in, over in the Great Lakes areas.
Oh, I agree completely. And, you know, you were shining a light on the frog lure, and my goodness, that pops. That is just an amazing paint job you have on all these lures.
Yeah, we have an outstanding painting company, and when I told them I want extra UV on this, it came out beautiful, and it's been our big seller. This is our third or fourth show this season, and we sell out every time. It's just hot. It's a hot lure.
You've got another new lure out. Actually, it's the Salmon Wobbler. Go ahead and tell our listeners about this.
Yes, we came out with a wobbler that's more for trolling and anchoring. In the past, we've had the Clancy's and FSTs and all that from back in the 80s and 90s. Well, this has the same action, but you can actually troll with it. And it looks just phenomenal out there. We've had them up in the shows in the Northwest here, and pretty much we only have about 20 left now. And hopefully we'll get our next ones in here. But we have them with a glow on them, and they come in 12 different colors, greens and chartreuses and pinks and reds, and they're really, really fantastic. We put a size 6-aught Gamagatsu Big River hook on them with extra heavy-duty hardware on it, up over 100 pounds in pressure on it. So they're ready to take on anything big. Salmon, no problem. Musky, pike. I think this would be a dynamite spoon for all of those species.
Well, I think it would work well for the lake trout, too. And again, we're not just talking West Coast here or in the ocean or in the Puget Sound. We're also talking like the Great Lakes. This would be a fantastic offering. Something else I really like about the Salmon Wobblers is they all have a hoochie tied on right over the hook. And I know those hoochies are a real attractant to fish.
Absolutely. I started hoochies several years back. And the catch ratio is so much improved over a non-hoochie lure. I mean, this just makes a night and day difference. And then you get the movement like a tail in the back and everything. It's fantastic on these wobblers.
I am guessing on the wobblers that you probably don't put bait on it because it's going to really retard the action.
Right. We don't put bait on it. We put a scent on the blade itself. On the spoon itself, we run it behind a triangle or a dodger. We tried it with a 360, and it just kills the action on it. So we recommend that you use a triangle or a straight dodger type, and then you'll have a good action on the spoon itself. We recommend about 28 to 32 inches back from your dodger or flasher, and then your bumper is about the same to your main leader. We want to do probably a 40-pound line on it, on your leader, and I think you'll have great success with these. I'm really pumped and excited about this new product.
What is your most popular product that you sell? Because you do have a good line of products.
Our most popular are the 4-inch salmon spoons, glow spoons, that we call them, and they've been our number ones for years. We've had them since, for at least over 10 years. And we keep bringing out more colors, and people just love them. Fishermen just love the new colors, and they go back to the old colors, too.
Well, the colors definitely are good, and in terms of size, it's kind of in between the Salmon Wobbler and the Lake Trout Spoon, so it's just perfect
for salmon, whether you're after Chinook or Coho. Love the fact that these also have the glow on them, and they also have the hoochie over the hook. So all sorts of lures to buy. You know, this show is being heard way beyond the Northwest. Where can folks buy your products? Website?
We can go to our website at McComas Custom Lures.com. Or we are in several of the stores in the Northwest and West Coast.
All right. So look for McComas Custom Lures at quality sporting goods stores throughout the Pacific Northwest, or just go online anytime at all at McComasCustomLures.com. I'm going to spell that for you. McComies. That's McComasCustomLures.com. Check them out today. Get loaded up on some of these spoons and catch more trout and salmon and steelhead. John, always a pleasure, sir.
Thank you, John.
This portion of the show is brought to you by our friends at WorkSharp. And if you're going to be catching some lake trout or some salmon, you're certainly going to need a fillet knife to go ahead and get those fillets off those fish. And you're going to want that fillet knife to be sharp. And that's where WorkSharp Tools comes in handy. You can either get an electric knife sharpener that you can use either in your kitchen or in your WorkSharp, or go ahead and get a guided field sharpener or pocket knife sharpener to take with you. Both will fit very handily into the console of your boat, and you can get that fillet knife sharp in a hurry. And if you've got a bunch of fish, you can sharpen it again. Find out more at WorkSharpTools.com and look for WorkSharp products in quality sporting goods stores and hardware stores all over North America. Next, we've got an interesting story written by Frank Sargent for the Outdoor Wire about gators, crocs, and pythons in Florida. Last week was not a good week for people in Florida when it came to these species. The operator of a small sailboat was bitten by a crocodile at the Flamingo Basin in Everglades National Park, and later, an angler landing a bass near Leesburg got his hand bitten off by an alligator. Meanwhile, Burmese pythons are spreading in a great crawling wave across the Everglades and Big Cypress. In case you're wondering how many of these reptiles there are in the Everglades state, there's an estimated 1.3 million alligators there. And with more and more people moving into Florida, about 1,200 people a day, there's been a lot more conflicts. Meanwhile, American crocodiles, which were all but extinct 50 years ago, are now doing quite well on the southern tip of the state. In 1975, there was only 300 left, but now there's an estimated 2,000 crocodiles, some of them 50 years old and big enough to be a threat. Pets are at the greatest risk from both alligators and crocodiles. And if you don't believe me, ask any Florida duck hunter, because using a lab to retrieve waterfowl anytime the water temps is over 60 degrees, not a good plan and not a good ending for that lab. Same goes for walking Fido on the shores of a lake or a river. Frank wrote that when he lived on the Little Manatee River, he had to keep his dogs away from the seawall throughout the warmer months, which was every month except for February. And getting back to that man that was bitten at the Flamingo Marina, sailing in the boat basin, well, this was an area where fish cleaning regularly takes place. And it's a good bet that more than a few anglers have tossed fish remains into the water, and a fed crocodile, just like a gator or a shark, will hang around the same area and become a danger in many cases. As for those pythons, they've been battling that problem for quite a while now. But there is a potential solution, and it comes from some food researchers in Australia who think they've come up with a solution for world food insecurity called Let 'Em Eat Snake. It turns out various python species are very efficient at converting almost any animal food into edible, high-protein flesh. While chickens, pigs, and cattle waste about 90% of the energy from the food they eat, maintaining a constant body temperature, snakes and other reptiles just need a bit of sunshine to keep themselves going. This means a high percentage of what they eat is converted to flesh. Researchers say snakes can be fed sausages of animal remains left over from conventional food animals after processing, mixed with soy protein, and produce more edible meat very rapidly. Think about it. You can have snake kebabs, snake creole, snake gumbo, snake pan-fried, deep-fried, stir-fried, pineapple steak, lemon steak, snake tacos, snake pizza. Oh, it just goes on. Whatever your imagination wants to have cooked up when it comes to a python. Now all you have to do is figure out how to catch a couple hundred thousand pythons scattered across South Florida. And hey, you can start up a new food industry. Of course, you will have to convince Americans to eat snake, because a lot of folks are averse to that right now. But
there are people who eat snake in some states, especially Texas, and everybody I've met who's had one before says the same thing. They taste just like chicken. Our thanks again to Frank Sargent writing for the Outdoor Wire about this very interesting subject. One last thing, if you get a chance, check out our website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. You'll get a preview of what's coming up on the next show. You can find stations and airtimes all over America, and you should also check out our sponsor pages, too. They're the ones that help us stay on the air. Sponsors like Camp Chef, the Dalles Area Chamber of Commerce in Oregon, WorkSharp, Henry Repeating Arms, the Hunt of a Lifetime Foundation, and of course, Sportsman's Cove Lodge in Southeast Alaska, also known as Alaska's Best Lodge. And on that note, it is time to go, but here's hope you're blessed in the days ahead, and here's hoping that you get out there on the water for some fishing, on the trail for some hiking, or maybe in the woods to scout out some of those turkey, because that season is coming up quick. Until next time, do remember this, it is your country and your outdoors, so get out there and enjoy it.